This is an ABC podcast.
When you're out for a walk and you see pigeons, how do you react? Do you recoil at the so-called rats with wings? Or does your heart soften at their majestic flight arcs and bobbing heads? Australian pigeon racer Maddie Starkoff sees athletes in bird form. This week, a global pigeon racing event will take place in Thailand with a prize pool valued at $2.6 million. Starkoff could be about to land a big payday thanks to his birds. Not that the cash is what's motivating him. I have many, many questions about this sport. And today, we're going inside the world of professional pigeon racing. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily. Maddie Starkoff is a pigeon racer from the outback Queensland town of Winton. Maddie, in many ways, this is a love story featuring you and your sport. So how did you fall in love with pigeon racing?
I went to school here in Winton, and across the road from the school, or the railway station was there, and there was hundreds of pigeons there. That's where they lived. And I used to go out in my lunch break and just watch the pigeons fly around. I was absolutely amazed. Perfect formation of them turning and absolutely incredible. And then one night I ended up making a trap. I ended up catching two with tags. One was from Victoria and the other one was from Toowoomba. I then rang up the owners of those two pigeons and they pretty much gave me the pigeons, and I've started from there. So from 13 right through till now.
It's a little bit like watching cricket on the television and, you know, picking up a bat and having a crack, but then you've got to really evolve your skill. Like, how do you sort of learn how to race them, Maddie?
Lots of reading and ringing other pigeon fanciers from other places and pretty much just taking in the information they have and what they've learnt. I've used that with breeding, selecting, not so much training now. I used to fly pigeons out here in Winton. I'm the only guy out here now with them. So all I do now is breed for other pigeon fanciers to fly, and I participate in one-off racing.
Talk to us about the racing and the mechanics of an event. You know, if we think about horse racing as a comparison, you know, a bunch of nags run around a track. How do pigeons compete in a race?
So before they compete, I believe they must at least do an hour flying around your loft, or they call it ranging away from their loft. Once they do that and you really look at them and the health is it needs to be 100%, that's when you start taking them out. I used to start at 10 kilometres. I would release my pigeons from 10 kilometres and then they would fly back to my loft. I used to like them to beat me home. If they couldn't beat me home, then I would take them back until they did. Then you progress your distance, they'll get better and better at each distance. You should have a race schedule, and then you pretty much train your pigeons up to that race schedule. So yeah, you could probably start from, I don't know, 200 kilometres onwards.
And how do the pigeons know where to go, Matt?
No idea. There's lots of theories. It still boggles me.
So what represents a good time or a fast time for a pigeon that's racing?
Oh, depending. I like a nice, hard, stiff race. I believe that's where you get your honest pigeon. I've seen pigeons fly anywhere up to 2,000 metres a minute. I like a nice, stiff race where it's anywhere from 1,200 metres a minute down to 900 metres a minute. That's where they have the wind on their nose and they really got to work to get home. I believe that's a good, honest pigeon.
That seems pretty rapid to me. How do you train a pigeon to ensure it's in tip-top condition before it competes?
I think, you've got to keep letting them work around home. Yeah, there's all different ways of making sure that your pigeons are right. Lots of guys have their own theories. They have their own ways of doing things. It can all come down to the way you're feeding your pigeons. Your loft health must be 100%. Medicating them for diseases and preventing diseases. A healthy pigeon's a fit pigeon.
And what makes a good pigeon, like a good racing pigeon, what are its positive qualities?
It's got to have the genetics behind it. Winning lines, a winning family, well-performed family. That's what I now look for in a pigeon. Pretty much it's got to have it all on paper for me now.
Are they quite smart animals, Maddie? I think people in cities often denigrate them, you know? They sort of see them scuttling around. Are we underappreciating their intelligence?
Definitely. I think nearly every single one of my pigeons in my loft. Now, I own roughly 20 pair. I think every single one has their own personality. I have a little hen I had bred for myself for stock, and she sits on my shoulder. They all had their own character, I believe, yes.
This week, there is a very big international event in Thailand, and you've got two birds competing there. Just how big is that event, and what can you tell us about Lady Luck and Augustus?
So over in Thailand, there's a one-loft race, Bataya International One-Loft Race. I think it might be the world's biggest one-loft race. This week, I think Thursday will be scheduled for our first race, which will be 245 kilometres. So I have two over there. I think Augustus will be it for me. I'm racing against the world's best over there, and there's lots of prize money. I think that's probably the best benefit of it all. But for me, it's just having those pigeons over there and representing our country and just flying against the best in the world. I still can't get over it. I think to myself all the time, it's like, man, you've got pigeons over there racing against the world's best. You know, Mike Gannis, Gerard Koopman. Yeah, there's so many.
So if Augustus is victorious, for example, how much prize money will that yield for you?
If he wins the final, it'll be $187,000 US.
It's quite astonishing. How do you get birds to the competition? You know, I assume they don't fly themselves.
No, so there's a quarantine process here in Australia. So I'll breed the pigeons and then I will fly them on the plane to Western Australia, and then they'll be housed there. They will go through their quarantine process there with biosecurity and that sort of stuff. And then they'll be shipped over on plane, and then they will have to do, again, their quarantine process and stuff like that.
As I understand it, the birds can't return to Australia because of biosecurity issues. So what happens to Augustus and Lady Luck after the event?
So they will be auctioned off. If they are placed quite well within the final ranking and within the ace pigeons, they will be auctioned off.
And what could a bird expect to fetch at auction?
Oh, it's crazy. I've seen pigeons go for $1.4 million in the hundreds of thousands of dollars. So anything's possible over there.
Do you have a difficulty cutting ties with your animals? Because obviously you won't see Lady Luck or Augustus again.
You learn not to get attached. You breed pigeons for other people. I'm quite attached to what I have here at my house. But yeah, I've had to learn the hard way. I used to raise pigeons out here. And then a peregrine might pick out your best one and bloody take off with it. I've learned fast and hard to never have a favourite.
It's clear talking to you, Matty, that you've got a real connection with these animals, that you love the sport of pigeon racing, that there's obviously a financial aspect to it as well. But what's the overall goal for you? Is the desire to sort of be a star breeder? Do you want to be a trainer? You know, do you look at someone like a Bart Cummings of horse racing and think, I would like to be that in the pigeon world? What's the sort of ultimate goal for you?
Yeah, definitely have a goal. I want to be well known when it comes to international one-off racing. I also want to be quite known here in Australia. I do have a little bit of a name for myself now here in Australia. People race my pigeons and they do quite well with my pigeons. I still have a lot to learn. Yeah, so much to learn and gain from all this. So I want to be the best, hands down. I want to be recognised across the world.
Matty, we're excited to see how Lady Luck and Augustus go in Thailand this week. Thanks so much for your time.
Appreciate it, mate. Thank you.
Headlines. Brazil has thumped South Korea 4-1 at the FIFA World Cup. This almost went beyond a football exhibition. This was Cirque du Soleil stuff. It was borderline acrobatic, spectacular goals, juggling balls around defenders and samba dancing, including the coach. ITV pundit and ex-Manchester United hard man legend Roy Keane couldn't stand it.
But I think that's really disrespecting the opposition.
What, because it's 4-0? Because they're doing it every time?
It's 4 and they're doing it every time. I don't mind the first kind of jig, whatever they're doing. It's the one after that, and then the manager getting involved with it. I'm not happy with it. I don't think it's good at all. Look, I've never seen so much dance. It's like watching Strictly. I just can't believe what I'm watching. I really can't.
Feels as though his comments were a skit from Ted Lasso. Elsewhere, Croatia knocked out Japan on penalties. There are no more teams remaining from the Asian Confederation in the tournament. In cricket, England has pulled off a famous test victory over Pakistan. Spinner Jack Leach said this final day win in Rawalpindi was even better than the miracle Headingley Ashes victory over Australia. That is a flex. So why so good? Well, they lived their new Bazball mentality, risking loss in order to have a chance at victory under some exceptional on-field leadership from Ben Stokes.
Test cricket is something that needs to be looked after. It's the pinnacle of cricket. It's the one that everybody wants to play. And if we can make a little indentation into other teams' ways of playing the game, I think that's just only going to do test cricket the world of good.
If you want to know what Bazball is, it's basically a hyper-aggressive style of play. And we explained it with Gideon Haig in a recent episode. There's a link to that in the show notes. AFL and St Kilda's nightmare year has continued, with star forward Max King injuring his shoulder. He will need a reconstruction, and that is going to badly disrupt the 22-year-old's preseason. Who knows when he might be back playing for the Saints. New coach Ross Lyon must be livid. I'm Patrick Stack. This is ABC Sport Daily, produced by Poppy Penny. Hey, have you subscribed to our podcast? Have you left a review, a 5-star one? If you answered no to any of these questions, do us a solid. Get around us on your relevant podcast platform. Thanks to the Royal Pigeon Racing Association, Made in India YouTube channel, ITV and the Pakistan Cricket Board for the extra audio used in this episode.
What a cluster of fields around the batsman.
Cricket has been on the ABC for 90 years.
This has been a sensational innings.
Everlasting Summer tells the story from Bodyline to WBBL, and it's on the ABC Listen app right now.